And tonight, Acts chapter 10, and we'll read verses 9 through 16. Acts chapter 10, verses 9 through 16. I'll read the ninth verse, and would you please join me on verse 10 and every other verse down through verse 16 here tonight in Acts chapter 10. On the morrow, as they went on their journey, and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven.
Often we forget. That's why we have shopping lists. Because you go to the store and you go home without the very thing you went there for. And then you think, I should have written it down. I guess I forgot. Same thing is true when we were in school taking tests. We studied, so we thought, but we forgot something, and we missed that on the test. Maybe because we didn't study diligently enough or whatever it might be. Has your wife ever sent you to the store without a list, and you came home with something that wasn't on the list and forgot something that was on the list? Same thing's true. You don't have a list. Usually, if you go to the store hungry, you buy stuff you shouldn't have bought. So you need to eat before you go. Tonight we observe the Lord's Supper. He said, "I want you to remember." And the reason he said that is because he knew we would forget. And of course, we do forget those things, that's for sure. Sometimes we forget the most important things, and then we make excuse for the things that we have forgotten. What in the world would prompt Peter to say, "Not so, Lord"? We're talking about an incredible man. Peter was the one who preached on Pentecost. He is the one who, through his preaching and the soul winning of 119 others, saw 3,000 people come to faith in Christ. But yet, he said in this passage, "Not so, Lord." And remember how it was when you first got saved? I go back in my mind. You know, I remember the first person I ever witnessed to. I was on my school bus, my public school bus. And there was a blonde-headed gal there that was tall and kind of lanky and had big teeth and had great big round glasses, kind of round, I guess they were. And I remember that I had been challenged somehow or other in my home church that I needed to witness for Jesus. And I asked her, just without any knowledge of anything, I said, "Have you ever been saved?" And she said, "Yes." But she wasn't talking about spiritual things. She was talking about how she'd been saved from drowning. And I did not know where to go from that point on. But that was when I first got saved. I was just young. I got saved when I was 8. But many people, when they first got saved, they're all excited about their salvation and what Jesus has done for them. I mean, nothing in their life is better than that. I try to help us to go back and remember things on Lord's Supper night. I try to help us remember what the Lord has done for us and what the Lord has done in general for salvation. I have often asked us on Lord's Supper night, go back to that day that you got saved. Remember the person who led you to faith in Christ. Remember the circumstance that was there. Remember the things that God did to bring you to faith in Christ. And I've asked you to go back and remember those things because all too often it is easy for us to even forget the most important things. Man, what a relief when you first got saved. Not headed for hell, the promise of heaven. Never the thought that, man, maybe I'm never going to sin again, because maybe you didn't know the rest of the doctrine. But you did sin again. And again. And again. And again. And over again it was. And perhaps you thought that you would never get away from the Lord, like those times when you have gotten away from the Lord. And perhaps you never thought it would happen to you, but it would only happen to someone else. But maybe, just maybe, it did happen to you. When you got saved, God gave you a new nature. And that new nature is simply called the new man. I'd like you to take your Bible and go to Ephesians 4. Let's read about that new man that the Bible speaks of. The Bible simply says, "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness." Well, that's a promise, isn't it? "Wherefore, put away lying." Now, I think that's interesting that these two thoughts are right there next to each other. That God has created something in you, that new man that is created in righteousness and true holiness. And the very next line is, "Put away lying." And it says, "Put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give him to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." He makes sure that you know you're saved and saved forever. He says, but you've got a new nature inside of you that's created in righteousness and true holiness. And then he talks about the things that we need to put away from us because of that. And it says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." All those things are true. That new nature that God has given you. However, you still have the old man, that old nature inside of you as well. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22, notice these words. He said, first of all, that you put on the new man. And now he says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So there's our responsibilities that we have. And this is what Paul referred to in Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 21, where he said, "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man." There's that new man he's talking about. "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." Let me show you why Peter said, "Not so, Lord." Who was Peter? He got saved, born again man. Jesus chased him down, so to speak. He got saved. God changed his life. This is a man who preached on the day of Pentecost. This is a man who preached with the power of the Holy Spirit. This is a man who did great things for God, but yet in this one passage, he said, "Not so, Lord, not me. I'd never do that. I don't ever touch anything unclean. Not so, Lord." Now remember, he's not saying that to another man. He's saying that to the Lord Jesus. He's telling him no. What would make him say that? Well, I give you just a few points to ponder tonight. First thing I want to give you is Peter still had the old man inside. There are many today who believe that when you get saved, the old nature, the old man, is crucified. The old man is dead. The old man is one of those things which is gone forever. That's what many of them teach. But the Apostle Paul said that's simply not true. The old man is still in there and still there. He said, look what he says in Romans 7:21. He said, "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." And he made it very, very clear. The old nature and the new nature are completely different. In fact, they are diametrically opposed one to the other. Say it again. The new man and the old man are diametrically opposed one to the other. It's like that sweet baby who rubs your cheek one minute and throws a temper tantrum the next. It's like that little child who will tell you that he loves you one minute and hold his breath until he's blue the next. It's like there's two people living in there. The Apostle Paul made that clear in Romans chapter 7. And inside of us, there's a war going on, and the one who wins is the one who gets all the supplies and the ammunition. The one who loses is the one that's neglected. Two soldiers live inside of every single believer. For most of us, it is our horns that hold up our halos. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is our horns that are holding up our halos. Because we have an old nature inside of us that wants to choose wrongly and feed the flesh and feed the sin and feed the things that are wrong. And it wars constantly against the new man that God has put in us, which is created, as we read a moment ago, in righteousness and in true holiness. All of us, whoever gave a teacher an apple, at one time or another wanted to give that same teacher a lizard. Why? Because that's the way that we are. Listen, one of the reasons we backslide so easily is because we listen to the old man instead of listening to the new man. Why? That old man appeals to our flesh. Let me read you some things about the new man versus the old man. I just wrote these down for you to hear. Purity versus lust. Kindness versus cruelty. Love versus hate. Diligence versus laziness. Godly speech versus filthy, foul language. Read the Bible versus read pornography. Godly music versus ungodly music. Obedience versus disobedience. You see, there's that war that goes on all the time. And this is why even good Christians get involved in things they should never get involved with. Things of this world, pornography, lust, and all the rest of it. Why? Because we feed the old man. We feed the old man in one way or the other. As I was counseling here a little while back with someone who was having a difficulty in that very area, and I said to him, quit feeding the old man. Quit exposing yourself to that which is causing you to fall into these sins, lust, and all the rest of it. I said, it only makes sense. Doctor, doctor, it hurts when I do this. Well, then don't do this, you see. It's Paul versus Saul. Remember Saul? Saul was the one who got saved and God changed his name to Paul. We know him as Paul. We knew him as Saul of Tarsus. One who killed Christians and imprisoned Christians, and now one who started churches and brought people to faith in Christ. But Paul was still Paul. You see, the same guy, same flesh, same head, same brain. And so the reason that we backslide, I said, first of all, why did Peter do that? Because Peter still had the old man on the inside. He doesn't go away. One famous preacher who's now supposedly gone on to heaven, and I'm assuming that he has, he believed that his old nature, his old nature was gone and had been eradicated on the day that he got saved until he got messed up with a prostitute and then did it again. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What he said was that was a mistake. Let me tell you what, that was a sin. That was his old nature winning the battle. He fed the wrong man. He loaded ammunition into the gun of the wrong one. And he lost the battle. Secondly, notice this, is that Peter was still the same man as he was. That did not change. Romans 7:18. There's these little truths that are found throughout the Word of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That are there that often we overlook when they apply directly to us. Look what it says in Romans 7:18. Paul said these words. He says, I know that in me. Now look at the parenthesis that God put in the Bible. That is in my flesh. Still had the same body. Still had the same weakness, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Now look at the word good that is there. I taught you this a long time ago about this word good. The word good here means without admixture, intrinsically pure and good, nothing added to it. And he said, in my flesh, there's nothing that is intrinsically good. Not one thing. Why? Because our flesh is our flesh. And he says, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Peter was still the same guy he was before he got saved. Got a new nature, still had the old nature. Paul talked about that. Peter understood it full well. When I think about this, he was the same man that he always was, only he was a saved man now. He still had the same body. He had the same mind. He had the same habits. And some of those things are difficult to change. Peter cursed and swore after he got saved. Now, that's not the same thing that we think of today, necessarily. Swearing, perhaps. He pronounced curses on those around him. He wasn't necessarily saying, you old booger man, and call him names and had all the cursing that people use today necessarily. I'm sure in Bible times they had that. He was an old converted, saved fisherman. You have to understand his background. But he cursed and he swore. He denied Jesus. He denied the disciples. He quit the ministry. He took men with him. Same old Peter, same guy, just saved now. And he even quit the ministry. And here he says, when the Lord tells him what to do, he says, not so, Lord. Not me. I'm not doing that. I really think that was a foolish thing to say. But you know what that was? That was the old nature. It wasn't like he was reading a newspaper and saw something that he ought to do and said, well, I'm not going to do that. He got this vision directly from the Lord. And he said, not me. I'm not doing it. When I think about that, the new man versus the old man, I think about what it is. A very simple message tonight. I'm nearly done. I don't want you to miss what I'm having to say. And what I'm saying, the reason we backslide is because we forget and have forgotten that the old man is still in there. He's there all the time, ever present with us. Holy versus unholy, loving versus unloving, merciful versus merciless, kind versus unkind, humble versus proud, meek versus arrogant, patient versus impatient, and at peace versus at war. We forget that the old man's still in there. How many times have I heard a Christian say, oh, pardon my French? I'm sorry, that was just good old-fashioned American cursing. That's all that was. That's the old man coming out. And what I'm saying is these things happen. When Christians begin to do things I used to do, I don't do them anymore, they started doing them again. Why? Because the old man is still in there. He ain't going nowhere. Can I put it in the Tennessean vernacular? We don't get rid of the old nature until we go to heaven. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Nobody gets sanctified past sinning on this earth. No one. In heaven, there's no sin. There's no temptation to sin. Down here, it's absolutely everywhere. Street signs and billboards and radio stations and television programs and satellite programming and cable programming and all the rest of it. It's all there. But then the Bible says in the book of James that a man is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Our body is like a bottle of Prego spaghetti sauce. It's in there. It's in there. And let me say it again, Tennessean style, it ain't going nowhere. So what you've got to do is you've got to give the ammunition to the right one. You hand the enemy your gun, you're going to get shot. You hand the enemy your sword, you're going to get stuck. You hand the enemy your knife, you're going to get stabbed. You hand the enemy a bomb, it's going to get dropped on you. So therefore, you've got to give the weaponry to the right one. In other words, in our lives, the Word of God has the answer for all of that. There's so many things I could go in tonight, but I'm not going to keep you here all night long. I'm just here to tell you, we often feed the wrong one. We give the nutrition to the wrong one. And we let the other one that should not win go. We let that one get stronger while the new man gets hungry and gets weak day after day after day. And then after a while, it's how did I get here? How did I backslide this far? How did my heart get so cold? How did my life get so empty? How did my prayer life die? How did my relationship to the Bible weaken like it did? It's because you fed the wrong one. You gave the ammunition to the wrong one. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? We don't need to be doing that, especially in today's day and age. We don't need to be blaming someone else for the weakness that we give into in our own lives. Listen, I've heard it. I've been in the ministry for a lot of years, 46 years full time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I've heard it all. And it goes right back to the Garden of Eden. Adam, where are you, Adam? Looking as if God didn't know where Adam was. Over here, Lord, but we hid ourselves because we're naked. As if the Lord didn't know, he said, who told you you were naked? Then comes the blame game. The woman thou gavest me. Blamed it on his wife. And then she said, well, the snake you made. God cursed the snake. Women have been having babies ever since, and Adam's been sweating by the sweat of his brow for all these years. And mankind was fallen into sin. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. But what was the blame game? Yeah, God held Adam accountable, and Eve. Don't ever say that she wasn't held accountable. And the snake, which was Satan. Don't leave them out of the mix. And as I said earlier, there are two soldiers who live inside your tent. A good one who wants to please the Lord and a bad one who wants to please only you and your flesh. And one of them is the enemy, and you have to decide which side you're on. Which one are you going to feed? Which one are you going to give the weaponry to? Which one are you going to allow to have the advantage in your life? You see, that doesn't happen by accident. That happens because those are choices that we make, you see. Listening to our political, I don't know what I even want to call it, listening to our politicians, maybe I should just say it that way. Well, the reason I'm this is because so-and-so and such. It's just a blame game all the way across. We heard that. Oh, I could just name off the candidates who said, well, the reason I've got problems is because this is what I was left and this is what that did. And we've heard those kind of things on and on and on. Finally, we got a man who said, I'm taking responsibility and I'm going to fix it. And so when I think about this, how can you make backsliding harder to do? Say backsliding, make it harder to do? Yeah, how do you make backsliding harder to do? Well, you give food and ammunition to the right one, that's what. When you're feeding the right one, you're starving the wrong one. Did you hear what I said? When you're feeding the right one, you're starving the wrong one. And that's going to help. Here we are in the middle of, near the end of summer. You realize this is August? Summer's going to be over with before it's all said and done. And there are many believers today who through these summer months who've absolutely backslidden. Why? Feeding the wrong one, giving ammunition to the wrong one. And suddenly they're defeated day after day. I believe I know about you, and I'm not going to say, well, I don't know about you, but I believe I know about you. I don't want to live a defeated life like that. No way. Am I going to have defeats? You better believe I am. I'm just as fleshly as anybody in this room. But I said, how can you make backsliding harder to do? Give food and ammunition to the right one. Why do we backslide? For many of us, it is because we forgot about the old nature that we have and we feed it instead of the new one. Does that make sense to anybody? When you read the Word of God like this, it just makes sense. Say, preacher, you sound pretty intense about this. I am. I want God's people in Timberline Baptist Church and those who are listening to my voice tonight over the internet, I want them to have victory day after day rather than getting to the end of the summer saying, where did it go and what did I do? You see. And it'll happen to a lot. For some, it's already happened. It's just, that's the way it is. But you don't have to be on the losing end of that. You really can be on the winning end of it. You can give the ammo and the food and the nutrition to the new nature and starve that old nature to death. Just starve it. Don't let it get strong on you anymore. And all God's people will say, I hope, amen.